9. The split. There is nothing worse than doubt, except waking alone in the middle of the night with it. I hadn't slept soundly since the day I was laid off, the day when the person I knew myself to be stopped existing. Other selves slipped away soon after, and by the time my mother died and I lost the little girl who had been her daughter, I no longer slept because I was tired, but as a means of escape. As a coping mechanism, I split in two. Not two halves of a whole person, but two people going separate ways. One remained in the minds of those back in California, who believed I was a crazy aunt, a wild friend, a sister gone awry. She was the person who would eventually call from the road to hear a familiar voice and remember she belonged to someone. She felt hunger, exhaustion, pain, and fear. But the woman wearing a black Harley-Davidson leather jacket with zip-in lining and zip-off sleeves, the one who strode toward the taxi in front of her house on Sunday morning, May 21st, 2006, had no feelings at all. She fell into the cab's back seat wearing black Levi's and black steel-toed boots with polyurethane shin protectors. She carried a black motorcycle tea bag over each shoulder and a full-face helmet under her arm. She was more comfortable in what she wore than in her own skin, and she answered the driver's questions with clipped one- or two-word answers. I liked this person who had risen within me, this person who was strong enough and tough enough and who had come to save me. Without her, this trip would not be possible, and with her, I might survive. The driver looked me up and down. Who are you, Johnny Cash? Very funny, I said. I take it you're headed to the airport. Which terminal? United, I suppressed a smile. Terminal 6. He glanced in the rearview mirror. So, you're right, huh? I darted a look at his reflection. No, I just lug around a 3-pound helmet wherever I go. Yep, I said, stone-faced. I've got a Ducati Monster rusting in my garage. What do you ride? Sportster 1200, I lied. Tomorrow it would be true. You headed to Oklahoma? Nice rally on Route 66 this time of year. No, Buffalo. He shrugged. Figured by the way you're decked out, you'd be following your bike to a rally somewhere. Nope. There's a great ride in Niagara Falls this July. It's only an hour from Buffalo. I made a mental note to ask the Daves about the falls. Maybe I could go there before heading west. Me, I've done lots of rallies. Sturgis, Cannonball, the Florida Biketoberfest. He glanced in the rearview mirror again. But the ride I always wanted to do was the Devil's Highway Loop. Just never had the guts. Where's that? I wrote Devil's Highway on the back of my boarding pass. Through the Navajo Nation. From Gallup to Shiprock. It's a real biker's ride. Challenging, huh? Yep, 450 switchbacks. And supposedly cursed. Used to be Route 666 until the religious nuts got it rechristened to Route 491. I couldn't help myself. Cursed? Could be. There have been more deaths there than any road in New Mexico. At the terminal, I had an hour before my flight, so I slipped the Harley-Davidson Sportster manual from my bag, hoping to be semi-fluent in Harley by the time I got across the country. Before I bought my bike, I was told to make sure it was the new rubber-mounted model, said to have less vibration than previous Sportsters. Now I was reading that the 2004 I'd purchased produced less oil seepage and was fitted with 3 dog bone stabilizer links. This, I figured, meant that my bike would provide a confident ride with less shaking, minimal weeping, and more stability than generations of bikes before. But now what I really wanted to know was if my Sportster had been modified and tuned for maximum performance as described in Chapter 2. Did it have standard thunderstorm heads or the more efficient hungry-for-air ones? Did it have proper squish clearance and enough meat for the combustion chamber? More important, was it fitted with a Big Sucker air cleaner kit and Screamin' Eagle performance parts? I had no clue what most of this meant, but I loved the strangeness of it all. The Daves will explain everything, I glanced around. Had I said that out loud? Quickly, I tucked the manual into my bag and boarded the plane. It was when I walked over the threshold of the Boeing 747 that I expected to feel something. Fear, maybe. Possibly excitement. But the biker woman I had become, the one boarding United Flight 958, felt nothing except the wheels tucking under the plane. I had no concern that the two men I was going to meet were strangers, or that the asphalt in my future could rise up and bite me as suddenly as a snake. Nothing fazed me now, because finally I was able to sleep again. What had happened in my life was no longer of any consequence.